Appreciate the blessings of the Lord this morning. Thankful for all the good things that I've heard since I've been here in this meeting. God is good to us. He's faithful. And He knows what we need even when we don't know what we need. I desire your prayers as we deliver a burden the Lord gave us. I figure that most of us have had an opportunity to digest some of what we heard last night, because I want to start where Brother Carl finished in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. So pray the Lord will bless the portion of this word that we have on our hearts today. 11th chapter of Hebrews, first verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I know that every one of us here this morning is looking for something. We're looking for what is beyond. I appreciate what God has given us to enjoy, the blessings of salvation in one another. But the fact of it really is, this is a temporary place, and I'm looking to live with Jesus forever. And I'm desperate to do that. But my thought I have on my heart this morning is that Jesus asked a question. He said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? I heard somewhat about faith last night, heard somewhat about love, and I want to talk about the both of them again this morning by the help of the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Brother Carl talked about pleasing God. I want you to think about this little phrase while I'm speaking today. When is God not enough? You know, it seems if you look in history and you look into the Word of God in the past, there were times when it appeared that in situations and circumstances that man found himself in, that God didn't seem to be enough. When we take ourselves out of His protection, when we take ourselves out of His will, then that saying to God, He's not enough. When we take matters in our own hands, God, you're not enough. God wants to be, you know, the promise that He gave Abraham, and it's mentioned all through the Word of God. He said, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And when God said He wanted to be our God, He wanted to be God of every part of our life. Every part. In the big things and in the little things. He wants to be God. And it seems to me that the problem is a lack of faith. Many times, when we come to crossroads in our life, when we come to difficult situations, things that brings fear, where does Satan operate? What is his arena that he operates in? He operates in confusion, doesn't he? He operates in darkness. And he operates in fear. He will try to impose fear upon God's people. Satan operates in falsehoods. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning, and he's a liar and the father of them. Now think about Thomas. When he had the opportunity to receive the Lord and believe that Jesus had died and rose again, he doubted, didn't he? I don't know whether he couldn't or whether he wouldn't believe, but he wouldn't believe until he could check it out physically for himself. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith goes beyond what my eyes can see. One of the biggest problems that we have as humans is that we're very visual. What we see is what attracts us. It's what we focus upon is what we see. Now, I had a little thought, might be a little comical, but if I was standing up here this morning and my hair was, I had it all spiked out in all different directions, what little bit I got, you folks would probably be focusing on that and wouldn't probably hear very much what I was saying. Because we're very visual. These things distract us. And that's what happened to Eve, wasn't it? When she was there in the garden, the devil knew right where to go. He knew what God had said. Folks, the devil knows what God has said to us. We want to know the will of God. It's right here, isn't it? It's in the Word of God. His Word is His will. But the devil got Eve to focus on that thing, and he began to make it appeal to her. He knows that you'll be as other gods. The enemy has a way of coming and dealing with us on our weak points. But folks, we're very visual people. Eve failed because she disobeyed the Lord. I know she got pride in her heart. That was the sin. But she disobeyed the Lord. And in order for us to follow the Lord, we're going to have to obey what His Word teaches us. Brother Carl said some things last night that echo in my heart. And one of the things, and we don't hear about it much anymore, but we heard about it last night, is in the area of divine healing. Folks, that was handed down to me. That was something that was taught to me when I was just a little boy growing up. That the saints, and the Bible teaches, and it still does, it hasn't changed. It's still the Word of God, and it's the will of God that we not only trust Him for our souls, but we trust Him for our bodies. We trust Him for every aspect of our life. There is never a time in actuality where God is not enough. The thing of it is we don't always understand what His will is. We don't know always understand what His purpose is in us. Why He allows things to come our way. But instead of us being so quick in wanting to get out of the trial and to get out of the situation, we need to be seeking the Lord more for, Lord, what do You have for me? What is Your purpose in this for my eternal soul? The Scripture says our light affliction is but for a moment. It worketh for us a far more an eternal exceeding weight of glory. Folks, that's what I need to have a visual faith for. I can't see it. I don't know what it looks like with these natural eyes, but I have faith and I believe in Almighty God. Without that, it's impossible for me to please Him. I wondered many times when I first began to focus on that verse where Jesus said, "When I come back, will I find faith?" And I thought, you know, He's getting ready to leave here and He asked that question. And it's becoming more and more real to me. Seems more understanding. There's a greater impact there of why He asked that question. Because we live in a time, folks, when people want to trust in themselves. Man is teaching us today. If you don't believe it to be true, then it's not true. Someone said it this way. The Bible is true because I believe it. No, it isn't. The Bible is true whether you believe it or not, folks. It's true. It's God's Word. He has blessed it. He has anointed it. He has blessed those that have lived by it. He's blessed their lives. We've had many examples that this Word of God is true. And one writer said over in Acts, men have hazarded their lives for this thing. Are we willing to hazard our lives for the cause of God? Sometimes we get the idea this thing is all about me. It isn't about me. Folks, it's about Jesus Christ. We're just part of the body, but He is the head of the body. By Him, all things consist. Folks, if you're going to follow Christ, He said, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's a way of the cross, isn't it? The problem is today, and I heard something in this meeting about sacrifice. We forgot how to sacrifice. We forgot what it means to get out of our comfort zones and be willing to be used by God in ever how God chooses to use us. Oh, I think about a man. I don't know if you've heard of David Ring or not, but he was born with muscular dystrophy. And he is a inspirational speaker. I heard him speak on a CD one time. And like I said, he has muscular dystrophy. And he said the Lord talked to him one night on his bed. He talked about about the night he got saved. And the Lord talked to him one night on his bed and he said, "David, I want you to preach my gospel." And so he said, the first thing I did was say, "Now, wait a minute." He said, "I got cerebral palsy." He said, "I walk funny. I talk funny. People don't understand me. And you want me to preach?" He said, "Now, how do you suppose that sounded to God? Me sitting there, laying there saying, telling God all about me." And he said, and the way he put it was, he said, "I can just imagine God saying, 'Oh, really? Tell me something that I don't know.'" Folks, God knows what He's doing. And He doesn't really want your ability, but He wants your availability. And in order for us to give availability to God, we have to believe. We have to be willing to trust that He is going to be the God that He said He's going to be. Do we fully trust Him this morning? Or are there areas and places in our life where God is really, He's not enough? I've got to take matters in my own hands. I've got to work this out for myself. I think about the children of Israel. God made a promise to Abraham, didn't He? He said, "Out of thy seed all nations of the earth would be blessed." And God promised him that there would be a seed raised up after him. And I won't go through the whole history of it, but the children of Israel were in Egypt. And that was prophesied too. God spoke of that. And the children of Israel were in Egypt, but God promised a land that was flowing with milk and honey, didn't He? He promised a place for His people, that His people would be satisfied, that His people would be blessed, that God would dwell with them there and work with them there, and they would have a land here on this earth in the natural realm. He was going to give them the best land that He had to offer them. Well, what did the children of Israel do? They got over there in about 3.5 days, and they saw it. They sent some spies out, and they saw the giants, and they saw the walled cities, and they made a decision, didn't they? A couple of fellows come back and said, we can't take that. And they made a decision that they couldn't take that city. And you know, folks, it wasn't a matter whether they could take it or not. God said He was going to give it to them. God wants to give you and I some things today, and we're drawing back because we're looking with our natural eyes at what it's going to involve and the cost that we're going to have to pay. And for 40 years, they wandered around in a place, in a wilderness, murmuring and complaining. And all that time, folks, God had a place. There was there. It was promised to them. That's where they should have been. But they're wandering around. They're wanting water. They're wanting food. And they had to eat manna. And they got water out of the rock. And they had all these kind of things happen over there. But they could have been and should have been over there. But they decided God's not enough. What God has promised us, what God has given us, I look at that thing and I can't take it. It's too big for me. That says to me, God's not enough. God, you're not able to keep your word. God, you're not able to do what you say you're going to do. I believe today, folks, Lord help us, I believe today there's folks wandering around in the wilderness, murmuring and complaining, don't have power, don't have a real true love for the holiness that they ought to have. Don't have a real true love for God that they ought to have, wandering around when God has promised them something better. There's too many. There's folks that are willing and wanting to just live around on the fringe, just want a taste of this thing a little bit, want to hear the singing, want to hear the preaching, but don't want to get to the place in their own hearts and in their own lives where God is requiring them to be. You're going to have to get there if you want this thing. You're going to have to believe to get there, folks. I think about Joseph. I was speaking to Brother Michael about this last night, but I think about Joseph. I don't suppose to you that he, if he had the opportunity to plan his life, that he would have planned it that way. I believe, I know. When I was not living for the Lord, I planned my life and I did a real terrible job. I made a real big mess of it. And even if I make a claim to be saved and I make a claim that I know Jesus, if I still try to run my life, I'm going to make a mess of it. I've got to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I think about Joseph over there, and he had two sons while he was there in bondage. And I was telling Brother Michael, the youngest son's name was Ephraim. He named him Ephraim. You know what that meant? It meant that he has, how did I say that, Brother Michael? He has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now, we need to get a hold of something here, folks. He was in the land of affliction. There no doubt was many times when he was down in the dungeon, whenever he went through that situation with Potiphar's wife, and many other places, when he was thrown in the pit, when his brothers sold him into Egypt, and all those kind of things. There were many times when he felt, well, wonder where, if there's a God, where are you? Oh, I've heard that today. I hear that a lot. But folks, God is right there. And He said, in the land of my affliction, in the land of my trials, in the land of my battles, He has made me fruitful. I think that we miss the point many times. Folks, the trials, the tests, the sicknesses, the afflictions are not, God doesn't play with us like a little kitten plays with a ball of yarn. They are calculated to get up for us to get to a place where we can get more grace and glory from God, more power in our life. It is one thing to have the head knowledge of this thing, but it's another thing to have the heart knowledge, isn't it? And people have asked me, how do you get it transferred? I believe I found the secret. I believe I've been through enough affliction and enough battle to find the secret of what I understand of the Word of God in my mind. I believe I know what it means to get it in my heart, folks. In the land of affliction, in the land of trial, in the times when you do not understand the whys and the wherefores of what God is doing for you and with you, folks, that is the time to trust God explicitly. Put yourself in His hand. And I did that myself. I said, Lord, I don't know whether I'm going to live or whether I'm going to die, but I'm going to trust You, folks. That's when you get it from the head to the heart. When you have determined in your heart that whether you live or die, you're going to trust God. And I found that that is the time. That is the very time that God comes in on the scene. And God takes over. Because I believe that I'm not going to die until God says it's time for me to die. Whatever I have to suffer, whatever I have to go through, God is orchestrating that in my life. The part is that I need to be willing to be a willing vessel. The willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land. God is looking for those that are willing and obedient. I think about speaking of willing and obedience. You know, obedience is required. God requires obedience. But I believe there's something that gives obedience a foundation. I believe God requires faith from every one of us. But He also requires obedience. I'll get it right here. And I believe that obedience is the foundation or the footer of your faith. We can't have faith if we're not willing to obey. We can't have faith if we're not willing to walk. The Bible speaks somewhat about Abraham and his faith. And I think about Abraham. Remember when God came to Abraham? And He said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, whom thou lovest. You know, God, He can get pretty specific about what He wants out of you and I. But when God appeared to Abraham, He reminded him. He could have just said, I want you to take the son that you have and I want you to go do. But He said, your only son, that touches our hearts, doesn't it? Whom thou lovest. He's dear to you, the one that I promised to you. I want you to take your only son, and I want you to take him off somewhere to this mountain that I'm going to show you. I want you to sacrifice him to me. Folks, obedience. That's why Abraham had faith, because he was willing to obey. Abraham started out, and you know, I don't know about you, but if I had something hard to like that to deal with, I'd probably want to pick the first mountain I came to and get it over with. Wouldn't you? If you got something hard that you're dreading, wouldn't you like to just get it over with if you got to do it? But he kept on going until God said, right here, this is where I want you to go offer the sacrifice. I believe with all my heart, folks, and I know you do too, that if he'd have chose any other place beside where God told him to go, the sacrifice would have not been there. The lamb, the ram would not have been there. God is specific with you and I. He has direction in our life. It's not in us that walketh to direct our steps. God is very specific with us. But first and foremost, we're going to have to be obedient and have faith and trust Him in whatever He's calling us to do. Trust Him. So I don't know. The pain gets awful hard. I understand that. Nights get awful long. I understand that. Whenever I can't see, whenever there's wonder there, and I don't know what the outcome's going to be, I can't see around the corner, don't know how this is going to come out, I still want to trust God. Because I don't believe there's ever a time in our lives where God shouldn't be enough. He ought to be everything we need. I believe that we ought to have that focused in our hearts and in our minds. God ought to be enough. You know, Abraham trusted God. He told those fellows, my son and I are going to go up, we're going to make a sacrifice, and we're going to return, didn't he? He didn't know how it was going to be done, but he said, we're going to return. Folks, that's what we're going to have today is faith. God's requiring faith. And I think You know, if God does, if we don't have faith, where's He going to find it? We believe we're God's people. We believe we have the truth. We believe we have His Spirit. If He doesn't find faith among us, where's He going to find it? He's not going to find it out there in the world we live in today. Because people are let down. They ain't trusting God today. I was out in Arizona the first week of this month. Was talking to a woman there. And she was having some physical problems. And talking about all the different medicines that she'd tried. And I said, you know, I just want to tell you something. My wife's sister-in-law. I said, I know folks that live to be in their 80s. 90. And I said, for 60, 70 years of their life, and even more, they never took any medicine. And her eyes got real big, and she looked at me, and she said, how do they do that? And then she stopped, and she said, I know. She said, they trusted the Lord. I said, yeah, that's what they did. And he didn't die until he was getting ready for him to die. Folks, people, today, we need to trust the Lord. It's safe to trust the Lord. It's what He requires. That's what His will is. And without faith, we can't please God. We can't satisfy Him. The children of Israel's redemption from Egypt occurred, listen, only when they were in the saddest situation and that their cries came out to God. Only when they were at their lowest point that God heard them and brought them out of their misery that they were in. Before complete salvation, before we can get this down into our hearts, folks, before this complete salvation can come and be manifested through our lives, there must be a humbling of you and I. There must be an overthrow of all human hope. We don't have hope of eternity through any human manifestation or form. It isn't through anything man can do. The president or anybody in the world, the richest man, cannot promise me or give me hope of eternal life. That is found in His Son, Jesus Christ. The hope of eternal life is found in Jesus. Think about Adam and Eve. It wasn't until the fig leaves failed that God brought in the skin from the sacrifice. It's when we get down to our place of dependency on the Lord. God wants us to be dependent upon the Lord, doesn't He? He wants us to do that. I want to read a scripture over in the 5th chapter of John. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now folks, listen to the question. Jesus looked at a man that had been afflicted for 38 years and he said, wilt thou be made whole? And the man answered and said, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming down, another steppeth down before me. Is that what Jesus asked the impotent man? That's not the question that Jesus asked. Folks, we need to understand that God is specific in how that He deals with you and I. He didn't ask him if he needed someone to take and put him in the pool. He said, do you want to be made whole? Folks, we get sometimes want to put God in a little box and we decide, God, if you don't work it out this way, it ain't going to be worked out. And God has all kinds of ways of taking care of you and I. When the children of Israel were going out into battle and facing the Philistines, God sent the hornets after them, didn't He?
Who would have ever thought that the hornets could discover the whole army? But it did. Children of Israel just went in there and kind of cleaned up the spoils a little bit. We want to put God in a box because we're not listening to what God is saying to us. Without faith, folks, it's impossible to please Him. We're going to have it. The substance of things hoped for. You want some substance in your life, in your spiritual life, in your walk with the Lord? Got to have faith. That's the substance. Got to believe in someone and in something that I cannot see with my natural eye. This man had the Son of God standing right there before him. And he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And he looked right on past him, right on to his affliction and his situation, and said, "I don't have any way to get in the water." That wasn't the question. That isn't what Jesus was interested in. Do you want to be made whole? Oh, several times he healed people and said, "Thy faith has saved me. Thy faith has saved me." And then he said, "Go and sin no more." Folks, it's our faith. Do we have faith today? People are drawing back. People are getting afraid. People are trusting, maybe in the arm of flesh. Folks, this hasn't changed. And one of the things that really saddens me today, and I'm just going to go ahead and say, Brother Carl said enough last night, but it really saddens me that the minister feels so under pressure to speak about divine healing. If I'm not mistaken, Brother Austin Wilson said, "We lose that, and we'll be just like any other saint." Lord, help us now. Faith. We can't please God as His people without faith. But not just for divine healing, for every aspect of our life. When is there a time in your life? What have you ever faced? How far have you ever had to go in a trial when God wasn't enough to meet the need that you have? God has always been enough, folks. I've been around long enough. I tell you, Sister Taylor's testimony here yesterday morning, I appreciated that so much. I remember the old saints that trusted God. The hard things came along. The darkness came down upon them. But they knew the sun was shining on the other side. They knew God was still on His throne. They knew Jesus was still the mediator. They knew that He was still God. He was the beginning and the end. And they knew that He was going to take care of them. And if He allowed them to die, they were willing to trust Him right to the grave. Three Hebrew children had it, didn't they? "Oh, King, You can give us all the opportunities You want, but we're not bound." Folks, when we give in to the arm of flesh, we're bound. We're bound. We're bound to what, and putting our trust in man and not God. May the Lord help us today. The problem is we need faith. Now, Paul said in the 5th chapter of Galatians, he said, "In Jesus Christ, circumcision doesn't avail anything, or uncircumcision." But he says, faith, it's the faith that worketh by love. And here is where the problem is. As we heard last night, there's very little love. I believe faith comes in the degree of the love that we have for God. Faith works by love, doesn't it? If I have a little bit of love, maybe I can have a little bit of faith. A little more love, then I have more faith. If I have the greatest love that Jesus said, with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I love Him with everything that I have, then I can have a lot of faith. That's what the old folks had, a lot of faith. They had a lot of love. They loved this thing. They loved holiness. Holiness hasn't changed. We live in a very wicked and evil world, and people are walking around half naked right on our street. But holiness hasn't changed. Do you love it? Is it something that we're ashamed of? Do you love it today? Perfect love casts out those fears, doesn't it? Folks, I believe he's not talking about a natural love here. He's talking about a divine love. The love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. There's a can of aerosol spray that says on the can, air infused. And I thought about that, infused, and I even looked it up, and one of the words that it gave me was marinated. Folks, the love of God is shed abroad. It's infused in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And if we don't have the Holy Ghost reigning and ruling and allowing Him to have His way with us in our life, that is going to affect the love that we have for God. Marinated means, I've seen my wife take some meat and put it in some kind of a sauce mixture and put it in the refrigerator overnight and fix it the next day, marinating and letting it soak in that thing and getting the juices and the... Folks, we need some more marinating today. We need to marinate in the love of God. We need it infused in us. Because the faith that we have that is waning today, the faith that people don't seem to have to trust God in every aspect of their life, it's waning today, and I believe it's the love that is waning in our hearts. We need it infused. And it is only infused by the Holy Ghost. This man here, he said, I don't have anybody to put me in the water. He didn't see. He didn't see by faith, but he was looking at the water with his natural eye. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. That's what the Lord is wanting to do for every one of us. Every one of us. He said, it said here in the earlier reading, there was a great multitude, impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Folks, God wants every one of us to rise. Take up our faith and trust Him. And love Him with all of our hearts. God is requiring love out of you and I today. You know, the Holy Spirit infuses that love in us. But the Holy Spirit does not build on our old foundation. It doesn't build on an old foundation. The wood, the hay, and the stubble, it will not do for the Holy Spirit to build upon. It just won't work. We've got to be emptied out of some things. I was praying with a young man several years ago in a meeting, and he said, I want more of the Lord in my heart. And I said, well, that is a good request. But you must understand that if there are things in your heart that is crowding them out, you're going to have to empty them out. Folks, if we are focused on the things of this world, if the things of this world attract us, if we're getting too close to the influences and the things that are surrounding us, folks, I want to say that you're going to have to do some emptying out if you want to have the love of God in your heart. He looked at me and his guys got real big and he says, boy, you're a wise man. I said, there's nothing wisdom about that. Scripture tells us. We got to empty out. You want more of God? He'll give you more of Himself. But folks, we got too much clutter in our hearts. We're carrying them out. We're carrying around too much trash. And God doesn't have room to get in there. He won't force us away, will He? We got to empty out. We got to make room. And you know, we hear so many times, this is a pressing way. We're going to have to press. Yes, we are. The preachers have to press. We all have to press. The enemy comes in like a flood on every one of us. But thank God for the Spirit of the Lord to lift up a standard against him. And the devil's going to see to it that we're going to press. And God says, if you love me, I want you to prove your love to me. Love is really an action word, folks. We're going to have to prove it. Before we can have this faith that we've got to have to please God, we've got to have that greater love, don't we? Faith working. It works by love. I want to turn over to Isaiah, 31st chapter. I know this is familiar to us, but it's still the Word of God. He said, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many. And in horsemen because they are very strong. We have a tendency today to look around us
And we see churches, sects, creeds. We see things of multitudes and greatness. We might, if we're not careful, get the idea that's where God is blessing. But I want to remind you of something here this morning. God has always had and always will have a remnant. A remnant. A people that will not take a part of it or just bite off just what they can choose, but they'll eat the whole book. That's what God is still has today. And I know I'm looking at some right here this morning, and I thank the Lord for that. But God has always had a remnant. And God told Israel, He said, I didn't choose you because you were the greatest in number. That's not why He chose him, but chose them. Folks, God doesn't need numbers. God is not looking for numbers. He's looking for quality. He's looking for availability from you and I, someone that He can put His trust in. You know the song, I counted on Adam, I counted on Cain and all that. You know that song? Folks, He's counting on us today. We are living in a very difficult time. Paul said in the last days, perilous times will come. They're here. My heart goes out to our young people today. But young people, I want to tell you something this morning. In the fear of God, the Word of God is still true. God is still blessing His Word and will continue to bless His Word. And everything that the Church of God teaches as truth is truth. And God will stand behind it as long as we stand behind it. God will stand behind it. He will stand behind His Word. He said, I'm God and I change not. I don't care how this world changes. I don't care what people tell you, what the enemy tries to impose on you, folks. God does not change. He's an all-powerful and an almighty and an eternal God. And He's consistent in everything that He does with you and I. Everything that He does. God will not change. But He said that they trust in chariots because they're many and in horsemen. Because they're very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. You see, they're trusting in things that they can see. And now, that gives me a comfort. I feel comfortable, I feel a little safer, because I can visually see this thing, and I think they're going to protect me. And so now God's not enough. His Word's not enough. His power is not enough for me because I put my trust in the arms of flesh. I put my trust in things. But He went on to say, yet He also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back His words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men. They're not God. And their horses are flesh. They're not spirit. Didn't God tell Zerubbabel over there, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit? Folks, there's a lot of people that might have some truth today, but folks, it comes right down that God's spirit must bless that. God's spirit must anoint that. It takes the spirit of God and the word of truth working together in the hearts of men and women today. It takes both. He said the horses are flesh, they're not spirit. And when the Lord stretch out His hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is helped shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. The fact of it is, the way I see it this morning, the way that I see the Word of God, the fact of it is we begin trusting in the arms of flesh and in the things of man, we're going to fail. We need God. We need Jesus today. You know, I used the scripture last Sunday at home that when the angel appeared to Joseph and he told him that his wife was going to have a child, but he's coming to save his people from their sins. Not in their sins. Not in their place of complacency, not in their comfort zone. He's come to save us, to cleanse us up, and to make us holy vessels for Him to use for the glory and honor of His name.
Those vessels that were put in the temple back there in Solomon's temple, they were set aside, they were blessed, and they were used only for the work of the Lord. What was done in the temple then. Folks, that's you and I today. We're His vessels. To be used only to the glory and honor of God. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is He wants to do? I don't know what all God wants to do with me. We don't, none of us know what all God wants to do with us. But we're first of all going to have to put ourselves in His hands before He can do anything. We're going to have to put ourselves there. We're going to have to say, Lord, I'm consecrated. Someone said to me, I was praying with him at the altar, I remember who it was, said, Lord's done so much for me and given His life for me, I have to give Him mine. Well, that's worth that. We give it to Him. And He doesn't require anything more out of us, and that's been said here too, than what He's already done for us. He walked away before us. He went all the way. You're not saved today because of His miracles. That's not why we're saved. We're not saved because of all the good things that Jesus did when He was here on earth. We're saved because He went to the cross. We're saved because He defeated an enemy. He fought a battle you and I could not fight. That's why we're saved today, because He was the sacrificial lamb and He took your sins and God's wrath and placed it upon Him. And you and I are saved today. Oh, I tell you, folks, Jesus went all the way, but He wants us to believe. He's not here in the flesh, but He's here in our hearts. Isn't He? We sing the song, Come Jesus, reign in me. That's where we want Him to reign today. But I want to read, He said, they shall, he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping or has been helped shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. For thus saith the Lord, spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts. Let me tell you, in closing, folks, the children of Israel belonged in the land of Canaan. Because that was the promise. And that's where God wanted them to be. But when they got there, they fought some of their most ferocious battles over there. You know that? They fought battles, that was in the days of the judges, they were in Canaan. But when they got there, they were told to do some things. They were told to destroy their enemies. They were told to wipe them out. They were told not to leave any of them around because of the influence that they could have upon them and upon their children. They said, don't let your sons marry their daughters. Don't let your daughters marry their sons because of the influences. Folks, I want to tell you today, the enemy has seen to it that there are things that are influencing us in the church of God. He's seeing that there's things that are coming among us and slipping around us to try to influence you and I and to sway us away from truth and from holiness. You need to be aware of that thing. We need to destroy all of the enemy. You see, when they got over there in the Canaan land and in the land of promise, they should have been there 40 years ago. And if they'd have been there 40 years ago, Joshua would have still been alive. Yeah. If they'd have been there 40 years ago, Joshua would have still been with them. But now we have a generation that didn't know Moses, didn't sit around his feet, didn't hear his teaching. We have a generation that didn't see the battles that Joshua fought, didn't see the courage that he had. Now they're over here trying to fight enemies and don't understand even what they're up against. I appreciate the heritage that we have. I appreciate the heritage, the things that have been handed down to me. Brother Mart has stood, no doubt, right here in this pulpit. But he has said this in many places. I know the Bible is true because I have proved it with my life. And God has blessed me. And God has worked His Word through my life. And I know it's true and I believe it. And I believe it today. And I know there's many of us that feel this way. We're going to give our lives for this thing. People may hate it. People may not want to hear the truth like they once did, but folks, we're going to preach the truth. It ain't going to change. It ain't going to change for me. It ain't going to change for you. It isn't going to change for the next generation. It's going to be the same for every one of us. Because that's what it's going to take to get us to heaven. That's what it's going to take to get us there, folks. Those folks, that generation, they were alone. They were uncertain. Joshua was dead. Moses was dead. Where do we go from here? I want to tell you, our God is not dead. Our God is alive. And He's living in His people. Let's not limit the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need faith, folks. But if we don't have the faith, we can limit what God can do with us. It's impossible to please Him without that faith. We've got to have faith and trust Him. I want to finish with this little short story. I read, many years ago, there was a Frenchman that came over here, and he was a tightrope walker. A tightrope walker. He went to Niagara Falls, and he stretched the tightrope across the falls. And he got up there, and he said there was a big crowd there that day. And he looked down at them, and he said, "How many of you folks think I can walk, push?" He had a wheelbarrow. "How many of you folks think I can push this wheelbarrow across the falls?" Oh, he said, they said, everybody just, "Oh, we know you can. You can do it." Everybody was just sure that he could do it. After they settled down, he looked down at him and he said, Who will get in the wheelbarrow with me?" This is a true story. They said he didn't hear a word. Everybody knew he could do it, but nobody was willing to get in the wheelbarrow. Folks, that's the way it is with God sometimes, isn't it? "God, I know you can do this. But Lord, I don't know if I can get in the wheelbarrow tonight. I don't know if I can, if I've got that much faith that you can get me to the other side safely." Folks, if God doesn't get us to the other side safely, no one will. If God doesn't do it, no one will. You can't do it. The preacher can't do it. God must be the one to do it. God is always enough in every area and aspect of our life. Pray for me. Amen.